Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again for another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today my special guest is Dominic Amendum, musical theater coordinator at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dominic.
Thanks for having me, Tim. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So as my listeners know, we always like to get to know the person before the program. So I wanted to start with asking you to share with us a little bit about your rather exciting career that you had leading up to your time at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro.
Sure. So I am actually a graduate of UNCG, where I attended the School of Theater, the School of Music as a classical piano performance major. And after I graduated from UNCG, I went off to New York City to begin what I hoped would be a career as a music director of musical theater shows and Broadway shows. So I was based in New York from 2001 until a few years ago when I moved back down to North Carolina. And during that time, I was very lucky to, I went on tour on a couple less glamorous gigs initially, as we all do, we start somewhere. But then I did the first national tour of Wicked, and then did the Los Angeles company of Wicked, and then took over Wicked Broadway, and at that same time became the associate music supervisor of Wicked. So I did all the maintenance of all the Wickeds all over the U.S. and North America, did all the casting from the musical side, and visited all the different productions that we had out on the road, and all the sit-downs in Chicago and California and so on. So that was my big gig for a long time. Wicked was very good to me, though, and let me do other things. So I developed a lot of new musicals. I did First Date on Broadway. I did Heathers off Broadway. I did a number of other shows kind of around that same time that I was working on Wicked. And now I am here as an artist in residence. And what that means is I'm based here at UNCG, but I get to still pursue my work in the industry a bit too. So this last year, I just spent a good bit of time in London before the pandemic happened, putting up The Prince of Egypt with Stephen Schwartz, who I still work with a good bit, and have a couple other exciting projects coming up. So I'm definitely based at the university here, and I'm here a ton, but I do still go away to do some of these other projects, which we love for our program as well. So that's a little bit about me and my resume.
And how did it come to be that you went back to UNCG? Did you move back there to the area first, or was there a job offer, or how did that happen?
Yeah, there was definitely a job offer, and it was kind of a long developing process. I've been here for 3 years as a kind of full-time artist in residence, but before that, I was a visiting professor for 5 years, I believe. And during that time, we were kind of looking at the realities of what a musical theater program would look like here, and doing some studies and some research just about how it would fit into the fabric of what already existed and what we already had and what we needed. So it was kind of a process and an appointed process by the former dean of the College of Visual and Performing Arts, who really wanted to create a musical theater program. So he kind of charged me with getting that underway. And at a certain point, it became evident that it was time to kind of come down more full-time or not, or have someone else do that part. And always the competitive nature in me, I decided I should be that person to come down full-time. But it's been a great move, and it's been really lovely, and we love it down here. I have two young kids, and so it's been a really wonderful transition for me and my wife and my kids to be down here as well.
Oh, that's great. That's so great. And the program has grown so much since you've gotten there too. I noticed just in the past few years, my students who come to me, UNCG is on their list when they get to me to start. So that's really great, and that's a feather in your cap. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah. So since you were so instrumental in creating this program, I always ask everyone to give me their elevator speech on their musical theater program. So in 60 seconds or less, sort of sum up the program. Tell us what we can look for.
Oh man, that's quick. Okay, so
I know I love it.
I know it's I'm sweating. All right, so the first thing is our size. We only take 8 students per cohort, and we did that on purpose. An industry that demands individuality, we have to train people as individuals, and we can't put everyone through the same training because they shouldn't be at the same place when they graduate as everyone else, right? So we're trying to train as individuals, and we can only do that if we really keep our numbers low. So we take 8 in per year. That's thing number one. Thing number two is our actor training. We're an actor forward program. Everything comes back to the why and the how, and that again is kind of industry focused. That's what our industry is really looking for right now. So although I'm a musician, I always am looking for the great actors. Those are the people who excite me to work with in my professional work. And then the third thing, the kind of pillar of what makes us different and exciting, I think, is our stage time. We treat our performance and our season that we do here as a lab. Just like when you're in chemistry class and you need to blow things up in your lab, you've got to get on stage to test out what we're doing in the classroom in the studio with you. So our students are cast pretty much every semester from the moment they arrive here until the moment they leave, so that we can work with them in the reality of what being on stage is. So I don't know if that was 60 seconds, but those are like the three pillars that I come back to time and again about why we're here.
That's all right.
Why we're doing what we're doing.
I always forget to time it, so I'm not sure if
oh,
60
good.
Seconds
oh.
or not. I should start doing that and have a buzzer or something.
Yeah, well, that would make it even more stressful.
So you did a great job, though. So let's talk about each of those three things now more at length, and we'll say that we've gotten off the elevator, so there's no time limit. So the very first thing that you mentioned was the size of your program, mm-hmm. which I think you may be one of, if not the smallest program by design because of that. So first of all, chat a little bit about more about your decision to make the program that small, and also some more of the perks that come along to the students for having such a small program.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so, you know, when we were looking at this, I thought a lot about the kind of program we wanted to be, along with my colleagues. And, you know, my professional work just kind of helped shape a lot of what we have become, I think. And the actors who excite me the most are the people who are really interesting individuals and the people who I want to go have a coffee with before rehearsal, and the people that just excite me as individuals, not just as talented people that can sing high or kick their forehead or, you know, whatever the training can bring. So that, you know, to train people to figure out who they are and what makes them different and how to combine their life experiences into a package to present on stage or in an audition room is intensive work, and it has to be different for every student. Now, that's not to say everyone takes, you know, Acting Studio One, but the work they do in Acting Studio One is going to be very different. Their dance progression is going to look very different. And that's not just because of their level of dance. It's because of how we see them and where we see them going in the industry and what we think they should lead with. And that's in consultation with them. So there's a lot of great programs out there for sure, of course. But I was thinking about how to train people like truly as individuals and get to know them deeply as individuals. And to me, I wasn't sure how to do that if we were going to take 20 people in per cohort. That's 80 students that we're training at one time when you factor in all 4 years. And that just felt kind of overwhelming to me and kind of like an impossible task. So by design, we created this what we call a boutique program. That sounds fancy, and I like it. But mm-hmm. so, you know, we created this program that's very small so that we can really get to know our students and help them figure out at age 18 to 22 these big questions of like, well, what makes me different than the other people in the room, and where do I belong in this industry, and, you know, all of that. Those are big questions for that age. And our numbers allow us to really kind of focus on that with each student.
Yeah, that's really incredible, because I mean, I know just from knowing the chairs and the coordinators of all these departments that they're sometimes the programs are fighting with the school, because obviously the school wants enrollment to be up and wants mm-hmm. more frankly, tuition dollars coming through the door. So the fact that you're able to keep it that small is really incredible for you, and an incredible opportunity for the students as well.
Yeah. Sorry, Tim.
No, please go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say what I should add to that too is we were lucky because we were creating a program in an already established, really wonderful BFA performance program. And that's another, I think, wonderful thing about our program is that there's not that kind of unhealthy competition or pecking order between BFA acting and BFA musical theater and stuff. We have a BFA performance program. Yes, there are two distinct tracks, acting and musical theater, in it, but our students all get along. They all support each other. They work together. They collaborate. And it's, again, so much of what we do comes back to the size, and that we can do that because there's only 12 actors and 8 musical theater students in each cohort.
Awesome. That's so great. And you keep using the word cohort, which is something that my listeners have not heard another school use before. So when you say cohort, you just mean class, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The class year, just making sure that everyone was on the same page that's listening. And you also, you mentioned that you're an actor forward program, which I love to hear because I always tell my students, remember, you know, no matter what you're doing, singing, acting, or even dancing, you're a storyteller first. So you also mentioned, and we'll tie this question together, that it's a BFA performance degree with 2 different tracks. So speak a little bit about how that helps your musical theater students and your acting students being able to mix and mingle with the other half, so to speak. And I use that with air quotes. No one could see that. But talk a little bit about what that means, that performance degree with 2 different tracks.
Yeah. So, you know, when our students come to UNCG and arrive for their first semester, all of our BFA performance students, acting and musical theater, take the first 4 semesters of the acting progression together. We're a Stanislavski-based program, but that includes Stella Adner, Meisner, Michael Chekhov, and it includes on-camera training, which I think also separates our program from others, that even for musical theater, on-camera is part of your required acting training. So again, to build this quote cohort or class of students and to build a camaraderie between them, they go through that progression together. Now, there are certain things that they do separate of each other. There are certain things that only the MT students are doing or only the acting students are doing. But we create a really wonderful kind of camaraderie between those in the performance program in those first couple of years because they're doing a lot of the training together. And what that also does is it pushes them. There's no separation. When you're in your acting class, it's not like, oh, okay, the MT students do this scene that's, quote, easier, and the actors do this scene that's more challenging. There's absolutely no separation. Everyone's an actor in acting class. So, you know, you're going to be paired with people who are in the acting program if you're an MT and vice versa. We expect our MT students to do plays and on-camera work while there are students here. They will be cast in non-musical projects here and there. And acting students who can sing will be cast in musicals sometimes. So there's a lovely kind of cross-collaboration that really helps to build where there's still competition, and that is healthy, of course, but it's not an ugly competition. It's a supportive environment with people kind of challenged by each other because of that kind of cross-collaboration between the two performance disciplines, I think.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to speak a little bit more about auditions later, but when a student auditions for musical theater, is there a possibility they get redirected to acting or vice versa during the audition process, or do they have to let them know, check a box, which one?
No, well, students do pre-screen for our specific programs when, you know, we'll probably talk more about this later, but when you do your pre-screen, you're either saying I'm pre-screening for musical theater or acting. And that's because the requirements are different for the pre-screens and the auditions. That being said, we are always looking at everyone who comes across our doorstep, again, as individuals. And we're looking at like what really excites us. And, you know, certainly for musical theater, there is a certain bar or threshold that has to be met for vocal and dance technique, even when you're just first auditioning for us. So yes, there are certainly people that we redirect, and same from acting into MT. So, you know, we're definitely looking at people, the all-around package. That said, if people are definitely interested in both programs, I think it's really wonderful for them to apply for both programs, because then it also lets us know that they have that interest, you know?
Great. Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. Can they apply to either or both? That's awesome.
Absolutely.
And the third thing that you mentioned in your elevator speech was the stage time, which is a great segue into my question about performance opportunities at UNCG. So I think the best way to do this is if you could just sort of walk us through their 4 years there and tell us what performance opportunities present themselves during their time.
Yeah. So luckily your listeners can't see me and see the bags under my eyes, but they never go away now, because we do 5 shows per semester for a 10 show season at UNCG. And those are only our main stage shows. We also do on-camera projects. This last year, actually, because of the pandemic, musical theater did all film, original film musicals that were commissioned for our students, which was kind of cool. Something that we hope to continue doing. We do a lot of new work development. There's literally always something going on. So I won't go through each year as a distinct different year. What I'll say is BFA students are expected to audition every semester. They can opt out of casting if they have a personal reason or a family reason, or maybe they need to work to save up money that semester. You know, like, there are various reasons that students say, hey, I'm just going to audition for the experience, but I'm not interested in being cast this semester. But typically, BFA students audition each semester and are cast each semester. There are two exceptions to that. The first semester, we do a freshman showcase. So our BFA performance majors are involved in a showcase. Because our season auditions are on the first day of classes, that's a lot to jump into when you're a first semester freshman, to be like suddenly also in auditions for the season. So it kind of is an offshoot of their Acting Studio One class. They do a freshman showcase with scenes, songs, material that's chosen specifically for them. And it's their kind of intro to the department and an opportunity for other students and faculty to come and see them and see their work and kind of see who they are. After their first semester, they're just in the open casting pool, and they're getting used as much as they would like to. You technically only have to do 3 shows to graduate with the BFA performance degree. Most students end up doing 5 or 6, I would say, on average, or some even more. And then the other semester that many people choose not to be cast is their final semester, because they want to focus on their New York City showcase and their, you know, their kind of final capstone work, and not do a show that semester. But that said, we've had a number of seniors over the years who have, like, a show has been on our season that they just love and want to do, and they still audition in their final semester. So it's quite open, except for that first semester. And, you know, again, I can't say enough, it's your lab. We can talk about things all we want in the studio, but until we get it into practice and until we see you, you know, collaborating with a director and a choreographer and a stage manager and just your ensemble, the rest of the people in your cast, that's all part of the training, is how to be a great collaborator and a great professional. And so this is where that training really can happen. And that, again, a program that you don't get cast until your junior year, or you're only cast 2 times or something like that. I think there's a danger of a hole in the training with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your senior showcase as well in New York City, which I know is always a question for my students when they're looking at school. So chat a little bit more about what you guys do for your seniors for their capstone project.
Yeah, well, there's 2 answers to that. There's what we used to do and then what we did for the last couple of years, thanks to COVID. Mm-hmm. And then, well, there's really 3 answers. And then the third is what we're going to do moving forward, which I don't know that there's a distinct answer for number 3, because we learned a lot over the last 2 years. So I'll back up. Prior to COVID, we did a full New York City showcase for, you know, the usual, take the students up to New York City, rent a small off-Broadway theater, do scenes, songs, et cetera, for industry, casting, managers, agents, you name it. One thing that our industry showcase always included, which I really loved, was an alumni night where alums of our program, it was the kind of dress rehearsal, alums would come and watch the showcase for that year. And then we would all, we would rent out a bar or a restaurant or something in New York and all gather so that our students could start meeting alumni who are living in New York City and start making those connections. You know, just we have so many alums working in the city in so many different aspects. It was a really wonderful way to start our graduating seniors, start making their connections, their industry connections, you know, with our alums. So that was our prior showcase model. Then this year we pivoted to a virtual showcase model like so many people. We were already doing a film aspect even to our live showcase. We had a big like TV screen that some film stuff was also used for their showcase, again because of our wonderful on-camera division. We pivoted to an entirely virtual showcase, and we had actually like really wonderful success with it. Our students were able to interface a lot more directly with agents and managers. They had meetings via Zoom, individual meetings with agents and managers and industry folks who viewed their showcase. We so far have had a number of students signed to agents from the showcase, which was just, you know, just came to conclusion a few weeks ago. So now we're kind of taking a step back, to be honest, and looking at what the future holds. I think like so many programs are, we want to take what we learned during this time and see if there's something we can do better. We will always have a New York City aspect to the senior capstone project or to the education, I should say. But we're looking at other ways to do our showcase because we had such amazing success with this format and our students actually had more meaningful interaction with agents and managers with this format. They actually got meetings and FaceTime and one-on-one with multiple people, which was wonderful, you know? So so we're kind of looking at where we go. One idea we've been floating around is actually in the junior year doing a New York City trip that includes workshops and like more of a training focus kind of trip. And then keeping the senior showcase virtual and bringing people to us. So there's a number of things in process. I think what your listeners should know is that we're committed to a New York City aspect of their training and a showcase, and we're just actively looking at ways to make it better based on what we learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The good news is your answer has been pretty much spot on with what everyone else has been saying too during this process. We don't really know what's going to happen next year, but there were so many things that came out of the virtual showcases that people really liked and that, yep, you know, we're hearing too that a lot of the industry people, the agents and casting directors really liked it as well.
Yep, yep. Well,
so
and I think
I am very interested.
Yeah, when I think,
please go.
You know, as someone who, in my, you know, when I was wearing my professional music director, music supervisor hat, attended showcases, you know, to be totally honest, I think the old showcase model was starting to get a little old and a little stale. And it was time to shake it up a bit, you know, to be totally honest. So I think, I think we're all looking forward to kind of what we can do better and how we can do it moving forward. I think, you know, that's one great thing is just to be open to like whatever the possibilities bring.
Right. So you also have a musical theater minor. Can you talk a little bit about that program, please?
Yeah, the minor is, you know, a minor in a craft like musical theater is not meant to be, you know, it's not the same training as a BFA in musical theater is, obviously. It's meant to be paired. A number of our BFA actors do the minor just as a way to keep up. You know, a number of them did musicals in high school and love them and stuff, but know that that's not ultimately where they might belong in the industry, but they want to just keep up those muscles and, you know, they'd still enjoy it. So a number of BFA actors do the minor. Some BA students who do the minor. We have some dance students that do the minor. But you know, it's only it's around I think 16 semester hours, so it's not it's not as rigorous a training progression, obviously, as what the BFA is. The minors don't really share space with the BFA musical theater students in certain, you know, in like musicianship and musical theater history and classes like that, the more kind of lecture based education classes, there's overlap, but that's about it. They're not in the same performance classes.
Sure. So let's talk in the other direction now. If students are studying a BFA performance, either musical theater or acting, is there an opportunity at UNCG for them to minor in something else outside of theater?
Yeah, there is. There's a number of our students do minors, and they are pretty varied. A number of MT students also will do a dance minor, but we've had psychology minors and business minors, and we have a wonderful minor in arts administration that a lot of students take as well. I mean, we've had minors in languages. It just kind of depends on what you come in with and what your interests are. But a minor is totally possible. It's also possible to take part in the Honors College while you're in the BFA program. A number of our students have. It's definitely for the right student. It's a challenge to juggle all of that. But it's there and it's possible. And the only thing that's really not possible if you're looking for a 4-year education, which if you're not, your parents certainly probably are hoping that you'll do it in 4 years. But the only thing that's not possible is a double major, really, in the BFA program. That would require extra time for sure.
Of course. Musical theater coordinator and artist in residence there. When do the students get to work directly with you during their 4 years there? Which classes are you responsible for?
Yeah, well, so right now I teach some of our musicianship progression. We have a 2-semester progression of musicianship, which it's specifically called musicianship for musical theater. It's a progression that I designed. I didn't want to just plop people in a music theory class because what we need as musical theater performers is very different than kind of singing, sight reading on solfege type music theory ear training. So we did a specific class that's geared for musical theater performers, and it works in musical theater repertoire and so on. So I designed that progression and I currently teach the first of the progression, but that's going to change and I'll teach the second class of the progression. I teach a musical theater studio class for the freshmen, which is one of my very favorite classes to teach. I teach a music theater history class, which is another one of my very favorite classes to teach. And I music direct at least one of our shows every year, often more. And I teach musical theater audition techniques. So there's multiple opportunities that I have to interface with the students. And then the other thing that's so wonderful about the size of our program is that, our students, lovingly, I think, call me musical theater dad and call Aaron Spear musical theater mom. Aaron is my amazing colleague who's a director, choreographer, and is just a pillar of our program. And so, the students interface with us on multiple levels outside of classwork as well, because of our small size. So, you know, advising appointments and sometimes just like if they're having a rough month, we've had students say like, hey, can I just come and have a weekly check-in with you know, one or the other of us and just sit in your office for 15 minutes, you know, on Tuesday afternoon and just, you know, chat, you know. So our students, we have a true open door policy and our students take advantage of that.
That's wonderful. Introduce us to some of your other faculty members who are there and some possible credits and things that they might have under their belt.
Yeah. So Erin Spear, who I just mentioned, she's a director choreographer. She joined us from she did the MFA program at Penn State. In musical theater directing, where she studied under Susan Shulman, and she did her BFA at the University of Michigan. And so she's kind of come out of two of the you know, most amazing programs in the country. And so, and she had some time in between her BFA and MFA where she was out working as a working actor, did a lot of commercial work and on camera stuff. She assisted Chris Ashley on Escape to Margaritaville on Broadway and has a number of credits, you know, in the industry as a director and choreographer. She's wonderful. She teaches acting. She teaches some dance. She teaches musical theater studio classes as well. April Hill is one of our voice teachers and kind of designed our voice progression in musical theater land. Her students, I should say, have amazing credits. You pretty much in any Broadway show that's currently running, some of her students are in the cast. She came to us from, we were lucky to steal her away from Elon. She's also a musical theater grad or a UNCG grad and was with us part-time and we stole her away a couple years ago to come to us full-time. Let me think who else. Michael Flannery is the coordinator of the acting program and is a wonderful acting teacher and on-camera teacher. He has multiple credits as an on-camera actor. The one we like to kid him about all the time is he was in Forrest Gump, but he's had a number of other credits as an actor on screen. So he runs the BFA acting program and our on-camera division. Others, Jim Wren, John Gully, we just had a wonderful new hire of a new movement teacher who's joining us this year. So it's a pretty exciting faculty that all have really distinct experiences in the industry and really distinct focuses with what they bring to our programs.
Oh, great. And you mentioned that you have a lot of alum living in New York. So talk to us about some of your alum as well and what they might be doing.
Yeah. So, because the musical theater program is fairly new, I mean, we have our third class of people in the BFA program. So we don't officially have alums from the BFA program, in the musical theater world. That said, we have some wonderful alums who actually did the musical theater minor, which existed before the BFA, including Deontay Goodman, who's in Hamilton right now. I say Hamilton right now. He was in Hamilton pre-pandemic and will be in Hamilton again when it reopens. Brandon Ellis has done multiple Broadway shows. He was in Once, he was in Bandstand, he was in The Play That Goes Wrong. He is a graduate. Ashley Sharp Chestnut is a graduate and she was in, she's done a lot of stage and screen work. She was in Doll's House Part 2 and Crucible on Broadway, but then has also been in multiple shows on TV, including Homeland. She had a recurring role in Homeland. Chris Chalk is a wonderful graduate who comes back and often interfaces with our students. He played Denzel's son in Fences on Broadway and was in 12 Years a Slave and multiple other film projects. He's currently in the Perry Mason reboot on HBO. So there's a lot of alums that are doing like really cool work out in the industry. Tyler Barnhart as well is in 13 Reasons Why and multiple on-screen things. You see the success of our acting students for sure. And we expect our musical theater students will follow that path as well as we have graduates. But even without graduates, we still have some wonderful people working in the musical theater industry, you know?
Oh, that's wonderful. One last question before we get to the auditions portion. Talk to us a little bit about the area where the school is. What is student life like in Greensboro, assuming that at some point during their 4 years, they're actually going to leave campus and do some things outside. What does that look like for them?
Yeah, well, so, you know, one of the beautiful things about our program, I think, is it's very much kind of a conservatory style training program that's housed in a kind of mid-sized liberal arts university. So UNCG has about 20,000 students. It's not a huge campus. You can walk from one end of campus to the other in about 15 minutes, probably. But it's a good size campus so that you can interact with people who are not just like you and are not studying the same thing as you and are not here for the same reasons as you. So there's a possibility for just getting to know, you know, a lot of different people while you're here. We have a number of Division I sports teams and, you know, clubs and student engagement activities. So campus is very vibrant. Greensboro, North Carolina is, again, kind of a mid-sized city. There's a lot of arts and culture in Greensboro. It's a very kind of forward-thinking, kind of wonderful place. There's great restaurants. There's great parks and trails. We're pretty much walkable from downtown Greensboro. It would be a bit of a hike, but it's possible. But, you know, like in the car, it's 3 minutes to downtown Greensboro, which has a lot of arts and culture, namely the Tanger Center, which was just about to open last March when the pandemic closed everything down. But it's a big new performance venue that is going to host a number of major Broadway tours. The first season is going to include Wicked and Dear Evan Hansen and, you know, a number of big shows. So we're really excited about that, the opportunity to have those folks in our backyard to bring in for masterclasses and different ways to have them interact with our students. But then beyond that, you know, downtown Greensboro has the International Civil Rights Museum and a number of great opportunities just for kind of art and culture. So yeah, it's a lovely place. You know, I will say I moved here from New York City, and there are a few things that I miss from New York City, mainly sushi. We have some good sushi restaurant here, but not quite as good. But I will say that I've been very happy living here. And I think, you know, that surprises people sometimes when they think about like a move to a mid-sized city in North Carolina. But it's really a kind of wonderful place.
Well, that's good to hear. That's wonderful. All right. So let's talk auditions, because I'm sure that most of my listeners are listening to this because they want some tips, because they're probably interested in UNCG. So let's start with numbers. This is, sorry, you said third year of the program. How many?
Yes.
Third year? Okay. So third year of the program, how many pre-screens did you receive last year?
Yeah. So I think... pre-screens, I think we were somewhere around close to 500. I think we were like 475 or something like that. And we typically were seeing roughly 40% of those who pre-screen. 40 to 50% has been kind of our average.
In for a live audition, you'll
yes, yeah, sorry, for a final audition. Yeah.
And then You said you aim for eight.
Yeah. We take eight. Yep. Eight a year.
Okay. So what are the qualities that you're looking for in that pre-screen video that's going to get them through to a live audition?
Yeah, that's the magic question. You know, I think obviously we're looking for a certain level of vocal technique and, you know, a certain level of acting training and, you know, those things. Yes, those are important. What to me is more important though, is that we get a sense of the individual and we get a sense of an openness. If we see a lot of bad habits or a lot of like, you know, quote, like overtraining or like someone's really like putting on a show for us in their pre-screens, I'm using all kinds of hand gestures, but no one can actually see them. So I don't know why I'm doing that, but you know, thank you. That is a turnoff, but for me, what is wonderful is when we get a sense of who the person is. Again, we talk so much about the individuality, and you know, we can train you to be a better singer and a better dancer. And, you know, we're looking for a certain benchmark there for sure, but that's why you're coming to college, is to continue to train in those areas. What we can only train so much is how to make you a compelling and interesting individual. So when that kind of comes through the screen, that is very exciting to me. And honestly, one of the best ways to do that is the oft discussed and feared wildcard video. You know, which so many people, I get asked about that a lot, of like, how important is that? And for some programs, it might not be very important. For our program, it is definitely important. because it's one of the best opportunities we get to really see who you are as a person. And to demonstrate that, I can tell you that your final audition with us, yes, includes singing and yes, includes dancing. And we don't do a monologue, we do a scene because we want to see how you interact with someone else as an actor. We've already seen your monologue in your pre-screen. Over 50% of your time with us in the room will be an interview where we just ask you to pull up a chair and chat with us. So, you know, we're so interested in just kind of who you are. So yeah, the wildcard video for me is like integral.
Yeah. My students know that I always say you're not just auditioning for a musical theater program. You're auditioning for the role of student they can stand to be around for the next 4 years.
Exactly.
So the wildcard video, I encourage them in the wildcard video to not do something that is singing, dancing, or acting because you want to get a glimpse as to who they are as a person. And I will never say I told you so to my students, but I do like to say, now do you see why I said that?
There you go.
So speak a little bit to that. What do you want to see? What is the most effective wild card video for you?
Yeah, that's great. Well, and just to it's always good when your students get to hear something that you've said, but they hear it from someone else. I find that to be true with my students as well. But I will give you a big exclamation point on that. Like when someone sings or dances for their wild card video, I just feel like they've just lost an opportunity to show us more about who they are. So I completely agree with that. And support that 100%. Like we've seen you sing and dance. We now want to see something else. And you know, wildcard video. There's like ways to showcase another talent. Like some people will play an instrument in their wildcard video, or you know, do something like that if there's something else that they think makes them marketable. And I think that's helpful to know. But again, to agree with you, what's more helpful to know is, do I want to be with you for the next 4 years and day in, day out, right? So if there's a way to show me that thing, but do it in a fun, original way. We're seeing a lot of students do like cool videos that they edit together that are just little like spliced together with them narrating type things. We had a young lady who was a wonderful artist, do like a time lapse of her doing some like almost animation style sketches. Yeah. But she narrated the whole thing, and just the way she narrated it was so full of like personality and fun. It was amazing. One of the ones that I remember really specifically was a young lady who did who was part of a club in her high school that was just a really wonderful club that where she worked with disabled students, and she had some video of them doing a theme park day, and she narrated it, and you know, so like those kind of things where we're just getting to see who you are. I love that, you know. I think nothing is better to me, and I'll tell you, I've never been moved from a maybe to a yes by someone singing a pop song, but I have absolutely been moved from a maybe to a yes by someone, like by me seeing their personality and seeing, you know, one girl even showed us, like gave us a tour of her room, but it was so charming because she like took us around her room with her camera and showed us things in her room that were meaningful to her and told us a little backstory about why. And I felt like at the end of that 60-second wildcard video, I knew kind of just what was important to her, you know?
I had a girl do that last year. I'm wondering if that was...
Maybe it was one of yours.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because students come to me all the time and they say, I don't do anything but musical theater. What do I do?
Right.
And I usually say, I mean, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Just sit and tell a story about tell a story about your life. Talk about something else that is interesting to you. I mean, we can make it interesting to look at by putting it to pictures or whatever, but they want to know who you are. So thanks so much for letting everyone know that I do actually know what I'm talking about at times.
Absolutely.
So is it just you or that looks at the pre-screen videos, or do you divide and conquer with your faculty?
No, we actually all get together. We have fun what we call pre-screen parties, and we all get together and sit in a room. Now we do that now. The day will come. I was saying to you before we started recording that last cycle we doubled the number of pre-screens we had, and I expect that trend will continue. I hope that trend will continue. But right now we still have pre-screen parties where we get together and we watch them on a big screen in our conference room, and we all kind of chat about each person. Again, that may come to an end, but right now we plan to do that. So it's me, it's Aaron Spear, it's Michael Flannery, it's Maya Brown, who is a faculty member in the BFA program, and it's April Hill, who runs our vocal division.
I am guessing that once you get 2,000 pre-screens, you're no longer going to call it a party.
Yeah,
But that's good
no.
to hear that the program's growing like that.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, we're
So.
still working our way onto the map, and I think, that day will definitely end. But right now, I really love being able to see everyone. I think it's really helpful.
Well, to wrap up here, if students want to know anything more about UNCG and the program, who can they contact? Where can they get more information?
They can just reach right out to me, and I will either get it to them or get them connected with the right people who can. My email is on our website, but it's domamendum@uncg.edu, and I am always welcome email from prospective students and parents alike. And if anyone has any questions, they can just get in touch, and I'll make sure they get answered. And our campus is really beautiful. It's been a weird cycle this last year without people really being able to come and visit programs a lot. We absolutely encourage campus visits now that we're getting a little more back to normal. And we've been doing a few. I actually have a couple tomorrow that I'm meeting people on campus for. So if people are passing through, if you have plans to be traveling this summer or whatever like that, and you're going to be passing through anyway, get in touch with me so you can come and check out campus a little bit too. Because I think people are always really impressed by our campus and our facilities, and we want to share that with prospective students.
That's wonderful. I hope to possibly do that myself as well this summer. I've never been to UNCG, so that would be great to come get a chance to see it. But also, I look forward to keeping this relationship alive and having you in for some workshops and master classes with my students. We do our auditions here in Florida as well that are completely free for the schools to attend and for the students as well. So hopefully you can join us for those as well.
I would
And
love that.
yeah, we will definitely stay in touch with you.
Sounds
Well,
great.
thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, you have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.